Today on Real Radio.
Jesus did not come and say, I have come to give you religion and that more abundantly. He says, no, Jesus came and said, I have come to give you life and that more abundantly.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Back to the Future, continues in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 4 today, verses 7 through 11. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through His gospel of grace. The Apostle Paul, he preached a simple gospel. Paul put forth a narrow way, in that unless we are born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. And God has guaranteed our inheritance, because we are no longer slave to sin, but an heir of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And now, as we look back to our future, we find that our relationship with God is secure. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that God's plan is patient. For God demonstrated His love towards us over 2,000 years ago, in that while we were yet sinners, He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for us. So as we look back to the cross, our future is in Christ. And now, continuing his lesson called Back to the Future, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 says, let nobody judge you in what you eat or what you drink in regards to festivals or new moons or Sabbath days. These things are all a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. They pointed, as it were, to Jesus. For example, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is our Passover. Did you know that? The Old Testament pointed to Jesus' coming. What about this? The Bible teaches us that Jesus is our unleavened bread. He's the bread of life, which means He's the unleavened bread. He's the fulfillment of that celebration. What about the Feast of First Fruits, which celebrated the resurrection of the dead? Who was the first one to be resurrected from the dead, to die no more? Jesus. All of the Old Testament practices were fulfilled in Jesus. And it would be wrong for somebody to come into this church to say, you know, we really love you guys. We think you're wonderful. But if you want to grow deeper in your walk with God, you got to keep the law. It's not true. Verse 11, he says, I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. No, this is passionate. I'm afraid for you. He's as it were, weeping to them. He's afraid for them. Now, listen to this. William Barclay puts it this way. Paul's grand fear was that those to whom he had been careful to preach the liberating gospel were now in danger of taking that gospel and placing it in a box wrapped with rituals and rites. You preach the gospel, people are set free. I'm wondering how many more joyful people there would be running around the community if we just preached the real gospel. Don't go out and preach the gospel and say, well, you know, okay, here's the gospel, and you have to come to Calvary Chapel. Don't do that to them. You'll ruin it. Just give them the gospel. Watch what happens. God can take care of them. But I want to drive this point home about how futile it is for you to think that if you worship God on Saturday, you're holy. Or if you worship God on Sunday, you're holy. And somebody else is going to come along and say, you Saturday, Sunday nuts, it's happening with the Tuesday group. See, that's what the flesh does. Paul the Apostle says, let people argue about that. I esteem every day the same. Well, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10, it says, For he who has entered into his rest has himself also ceased from the works as God has done. Let us therefore be diligent to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Wow. If you read the book of Hebrews, this is what you're going to find out. You're not going to enter into rest The word is Sabbath, rest, Sabbath. That's what the word means, rest. You're not going to enter into rest by keeping a day. You need to enter into the rest of God by entering into a whole new dimension of life. How long is God's Sabbath? Answer, forever. When God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says he sat down and he what? Rested. How long has he been resting? Ever since. Did you know that? And in the book of Hebrews, it says that when we come to Jesus Christ, we are to enter into the rest of God. It's the Sabbath of God. So when I accepted Jesus Christ, though I didn't understand this at the time, I didn't know the Bible. At that moment, I entered into the rest of God. Whew. Wow. God loves me. I'm forgiven. Wow. What do I do now? Live. Okay. God help me. Read my word and I'll help you. Okay. Here I go. And you live. You get up and go. And all along the way, he will be our guide. And the moment somebody comes to me and says, you know, Jack, it's really great. You're so excited about God. You love the Lord and all that stuff. But you know what? You ought to meet us on Wednesday mornings. We're, to be honest with you, God's really pouring his spirit out. Well, listen, really? Yeah. Well, I want to see God's spirit poured out. Well, then why don't you come Wednesday morning? Okay, what time do you meet? 4 a.m. Hey, man, come on. You're not afraid, are you? That's when God's up. Okay, I'll be there. Why? Because I want more of God. So you go. Okay, that's great. Oh, we're so glad you came. Hey, you know what? A really neat book to help you enter into this deeper walk with God. What deeper walk? I didn't know we're talking. Oh, it's just a deeper walk. You'll enjoy it. Read this book by this guy. Oh, now I'm reading books more than the Bible. Number one, fatal step. Into the first page, I find out that if I'm not praying 4 hours a day, I'm a loser. Well, uh-oh. Well, I don't want to be a loser, God. Okay, well, I'm going to start praying 4 hours a day. And just when you think, well, wow, that's really something. Oh, no, because when that's your motive, you get up from your knees and say, hey, world, you better look out. I've just prayed 4 hours today. Satan, come on. I can take you down. You turn into an idiot. Oh, religious, yes. You know what? Very much like a Pharisee. And you know what? Out goes your joy right out of the window. And then the next day you're praying and you start thinking like this. I should probably pray 4 hours and 2 minutes. That's the flesh, and it never stops. It will bind you up. And didn't Jesus say, Barclay again says, listen, man, Jesus did not come and say, I have come to give you religion and that more abundantly. He says, no, Jesus came and said, I have come to give you life and that more abundantly. Didn't Jesus say, my yoke is easy, my burden's light. Come and take from me rest. Find rest for your souls. You see, to enter into the rest of God is to cease from the observance of days. What day is it? Oh, we've got to do this thing, and we'll be acceptable to God. It's what God wants. We've got to do it. No, it's not it. When are we going to stop? Think, when are we going to stop looking at everyone's hearts and trying to discern their motives? When we should stop and examine ourselves to determine whether we be in the faith or not. Am I really a Christian? And I'll end with this. Am I really a Christian? I end with this. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42. You can turn there if you'd like. Mark it down if you would. It says, and those who heard the word of God gladly received it. Okay, watch this. Peter was preaching. He preaches the gospel. And it says that those who received the word, follow along with me, they received the word. Then what happened to them? They were what? Baptized. And they continued in what it says, steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. This is the life of a Christian. Number one, you receive the gospel. Number two, in obedience to the new life that you have in Jesus, because you are saved, you enter into the waters of baptism as a symbolic death to the old man. And Romans chapter 6 tells us that when we believed in Jesus Christ, we were risen with Christ in newness of life. That's true of the Spirit. But to be obedient to that fact and identification with God, listen, we're baptized in water. The water is like a symbol of the grave. But not only that, did you know something? That in the ancient world, before Jesus was ever baptized by John the Baptist, did you know the pagan world practiced baptism? Did you know that? They baptized people, watch this, they baptized people into the worship of Zeus. They immersed them underwater. And they came up to live their life for Zeus. They baptized people to Diana. And when they rose up to live a sexually perverse life after the god Diana. Jews were baptized into Judaism to live their life unto God. Say, no, now you're getting closer. Yes, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. For what? To get saved? No. For identification. To be baptized into the doctrine of the teaching of Old and New Testament truth. It's the immersion of identification. Very important. Because you do believe in Jesus, in obedience, you're baptized into water to make a public declaration of your internal faith to God. If anybody jumps out of the water and says, oh, I've been baptized, now I'm saved. Oh boy, do we need to take them back to square one. Besides, was the thief on the cross ever baptized? Not at all. But listen carefully to this. We respond in believing to baptism. Baptism announces our identification with Christ. Look, this is what the Christian does. And I'm asking myself, will you ask yourself, were you baptized? Okay, we're coming up on a baptism. Sign up. If you can't wait, call me up. Find me a pool. We'll do it there. And until the church is built, we'll have to do it at the pool. But if you can't wait, we're going to dunk you in the Pacific Ocean pretty soon. Hang on. Look what else. Christians continue steadfast. What does that word mean? It means that they're committed to the things of God. Watch this. You can feel the tension in the room when I say what I'm about to say. Will I be committed to the things of God? Well, that all depends. It all depends on my, on the times of my kids' practice, what time I got to get them there. It all depends on how late I have to work. It all depends on, that's the culture we live in. I don't have time for God. My kid's in soccer 8 days a week. I can't mess around with God. You drive by on a Sunday morning, and the little kids are out there wiping sleep from their eyes playing baseball. When do these little guys get any Sabbath, huh? Well, it's a cult. I want to build their culture and character. That's good, but at the sacrifice of God? I can hear the cards and letters coming in. Will you be committed to the things of God? God is saying to me, Jack, will you be committed to my things? This is what a believer is. I'm examining myself. To the apostles' doctrine, teaching of the Bible. Will you, Jack, allow the Bible to dictate your life? And I make no apology for saying that. Will you let the Bible direct you and guide you? Will you consult it for the direction of your life? Will you obey me? Gee, I don't know. I'd rather pick it up when it's convenient. The Christians had fellowship. This word means to be committed to talking to each other. Isn't that something? Look at us. We sit down. This service is pretty packed, but you should have seen second service. It was packed. But this is packed enough here. This is 95, 98% full right now. Watch this. When you say turn and greet each other, when we say turn and greet each other, don't you hate it? Let's be honest. Here it comes. Oh, turn and greet one another. Oh. And you go like this. Hi, how are you? And you're like, gotta set my watch. And oh, did I drop something? Anything to eat up that time. Just eat up the time because they're greeting. They're invading my space. I don't know this person. Where's that hand been? People shake and they go, we are so private. We're so private. We are private. It's not good. Don't talk to me. Turn and say hi to somebody. Hi. Now look, let's assume we're all here saved, giving our hearts to God. Let's hope so, huh? We're going to be in heaven together. And right now we go, turn and greet each other. Hello. Hi. It's so weird. Can you imagine when we get to heaven? Did you go to camp? Yep, sure did. Mm-hmm. Did you sit on that? Yep, it's me. So you made it, huh? Yeah, made it. You? Yeah, I made it. I'm here. Great. We're so guarded. And the truth of the matter is, the early church, they fellowshiped with each other. They talked. Hey, how are you? Fine. So what's going on? If somebody asked us at greeting time, so what's going on? Tell me about your life. What? We'd freeze. But watch this. It gets more intense. It says that they broke bread with each other. They broke bread. They ate with each other. Back in that culture, still to this day, you don't invite people over to your house to eat unless you want to know them and you want to be known. And it's really cool because they bring out some food. And it's great because you kind of recline at a table, you sit down, and people tear from the same loaf of bread. I love it. They bring out a bowl of olives and the hummus. Oh, it's so good. And you're eating, you're scooping into the, and you're talking. So what's going on? And this is the culture. What's going into your tummy is going into my tummy. We're pulling from the same loaf. We're one. We have a ministry that needs to be adopted and taken more faithfully. We started it years ago called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And that was pretty fun because we would get, of course, we didn't force you, but we would get your name. If you wanted to be a guest or a host, we would get your name. And we'd put it into a hat. And the office secretaries would reach into the hat and pull out a name. Reach in another hat and pull out the name. And they would connect them. Oh, the Joneses with the Smiths. Oh, wow. And you know what? You're going to be going to this address. You get a phone call. Jack Jones here. What's the deal? You're going to be going to this address. Okay. And you get in the car with your family or you as a single person, whatever, and you go to the house. The whole thing is guess who's coming to dinner? Yeah, watch. You open the door and are you Jack Jones? Yeah. Are you, Fred and Barney or whatever? Yeah. Oh, come on in. And yeah, you're like this. Hi. Hi. Sit down. And it's like, wow. So you go to Calvary. Mm-hmm. Yep. Calvary. Yep. You? Yep. How's it going? Fine. And then the food comes out. Oh, man, this is good. What is this? Don't you think God made it that way? You start talking. You start sharing. You know what? All of a sudden, guess who's coming to dinner is a huge success. I think of, I remember Lisa and I meeting Mike and Olivia Lee. Got their name in the hat and come, oh, wow, knocking the door. Hi, come in. And you say, Jack, that's nuts. I know, but it's great. It's what Jesus would do. Get to know each other. We belong in the same church. And if you think, well, I don't know anybody in the sanctuary, well, try putting three other services together on top of the fourth service. Well, how are we going to ever remedy this? If 3,000 people got saved in one sermon by Peter, I don't think they had a fellowship problem. Not while they're eating together. Not while they say, hey, you know what? Have we eaten with you guys yet? No? Let's eat. That's the culture. It's kind of sad we've lost that, you know? We need to do that. Guess who's coming to dinner? The thing is, oh, there'll be a lot of people sign up, but the people who need to sign up the most, they won't sign up. Well, I don't want to meet anybody. That's sad. You know what? It's a good thing. Paul pours out his heart and he says, I'm afraid for you. He loves them so much. Father, we thank you for your truth, for your word. Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray, Father, that this morning we would just resolve it in our hearts now that if we were once excited about you more than we are today, then we would repent right now where we're sitting, where we're standing, we'd repent. Number two, we would say now, Lord Jesus, excite me again about your love. Cause my heart to be intense for you again. Lord, do some weeding in my life and get all that junk out of my life. The religious stuff that's kept me from drawing closer to you. And let me know you in the simplicity of your truth. And I don't need to hype on this and prolong this. Right where you're at, Christian, renew your walk with God right now. You just do it now. If there's a day that you were more excited about God than you are now, fix that. And non-believer, if you don't know Jesus, if you want to know him and be set free, you settle that right now with him. If a thief can do it on a cross, you can do it sitting here. But you can start by saying, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and receive me. Make me one of your kids. Make me one of your children. Change my life. Well, he'll do it if you mean it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Back to the Future. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you are already committed to the teachings of Christ and are in fellowship with one another, for this is our future in Christ. Back to the Future is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds. For we are justified through faith and not of our works, should any of us boast. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And here's a special announcement. Pay real close attention to this one. This Sunday night, Pastor Jack's going to be doing another Happening Now Facebook Live event on his Facebook page. That's this Sunday, the 28th at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. That's 9 Eastern. So don't miss it. Pastor Jack and special guest, our friend Amir Tsafati, will be discussing why Jerusalem matters from a historical, a biblical, and current events perspective. Once again, that's this Sunday, 28th, at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, on Pastor Jack's Facebook page, or you can click the link right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. The Happening Now events on Facebook Live, current events from a biblical perspective. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. By the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has over 500 videos on YouTube? Lots of content available for you. Simply go to youtube.com and search Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Maybe you can watch a message or two that you might have missed. Now, there are weekly teachings, real life programs, special messages and events, intro clips to Christianity. Really, anything that Pastor Jack wants to share with us is available right there for you on YouTube. Don't forget to set your notifications up so that you can know when Pastor Jack has posted some new videos for you. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.